الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروش پڑھ لیں. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een were people who understood the Quran. Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een were people who understood the Quran and implemented the Quran in their lives. And one such example that comes to mind is in reference to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. If we open up Surah Anfal, verse number 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Now Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een were people who actually implemented the Quran in their lives. And here we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts forward a very important injunction, a command. Allah says, and make ready against them, and make ready against them, mastata'tum, all you can, and make ready against them, to the best of your ability, all that you can, min quwwa, a military might, a military might. This is the hukam and the command of Allah, an important injunction. Allah is saying to the believers, and make ready against them to your best ability a military might. Now in this ayat kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned relating to the preparation for the defense of all humanity, for the defense of all humanity against oppression and tyranny. Against oppression and tyranny. Against all of humanity. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat kareem. Unfortunately, people have not understood the meaning of jihad. Jihad technically means to eliminate oppression and tyranny from the face of this earth. Aliyazu billah, jihad does not mean a venture towards an exercise of indiscriminate killing. That is not the meaning of jihad. Jihad is sacred. Jihad gives honor and respect not just to the Muslims, but to all of humanity. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that a sovereign state must do everything in order to acquire the best military, the best armed force. That is the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the country you live in must have the best army, the best military. A lot of power and a lot of strength. This is the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if you have a strong military, obviously the objective becomes easy in defeating an oppressive regime that is out there. In defeating an oppressive regime that is out there. So that your neighbors don't bully you and terrorize you. My respected brothers. And these are the words of the Quran, the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we can actually go towards Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, we need to actually understand that Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in were powerful people and they understood the message of the Quran and implemented the Quran in their lives. And the meaning of this verse is that make ready against them to your best ability a military might, a powerful military. Subhanallah al-Azim. And Allah chooses the word quwwa, quwwa. Ulama have mentioned that every word of the Quran and its connection is filled with great wisdom. How Allah has selected the words, how each word is framed with the entire sentence, has got a lot of wisdom. Literally, the word quwwa means power and strength. And so literal translation would be, and make ready against them to your best ability, great power and great strength. But just for people to understand the translation that I have chosen here, so that it's easy for everyone to understand, is not the literal translation. It means a military might, quwwa. Now why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose the word quwwa? Quwwa includes all the different eras and generations of the world. Because each era will have a different capacity in their military might. Each era will have a different capacity in their military might. So for an example, in the early period, people fought with swords, arrows, and spears in the early days. Then came the age of guns and cannons. Guns and cannons. And now we live in a sophisticated, in the modern world. And subhanallah, you have submarines, you have tanks, you have bombs, you have smart bombs, clever bombs. And you have missiles. And Allah knows best, cruise missiles and this missiles. And fighter planes, you name it, everything is available today. Subhanallah. And so Allah chooses the word quwwa, that in whichever era you live, your duty is to acquire the same ammunition, the same firepower, in accordance to the time that you live in. And so if you live in the year 2012, Allah says, min quwwa. Take everything that is there today available for you. And become a powerful nation. That is the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ. Now for an example, my respected brothers, when we talk about powerful countries of the world, you have the countries that have nuclear weapons. These are the most powerful countries of the world. Who dare wants to mess around with China? Can anyone mess around with China? 2 million active soldiers ready at the blink of the eye. What's the army? How many? 2 million active soldiers ready to fight at the blink of the eye. 2 million. The biggest army in the world. A nuclear country. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. Allah says that when you become a military might, then Allah says, turhibun. It instills fear in the hearts of the opposition. It instills fear in the hearts of the opposition. Who is there to challenge China? 2 million. You dare mess around with China? You just can't. China, Russia, France, the US, America, and England, Britain. Nuclear countries, nuclear weapons, powerful countries. And of course, one more country that we need to add is Israel. Undeclared, unacknowledged. But subhanallah, it is a fact. Israel, it has 200 atomic warheads. One of the most powerful countries in the world, also Israel. And so these are powerful countries. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make ready against people who seek oppression and tyranny to your best ability, a military might. So there is no zulm in this world. So there is no zulm in this world. That is why, my respected brothers, the biggest lucrative industry in the world is the selling of arms, selling of weapons. And who is at the forefront of this? Who? Gone by. Jazakallah, Idris, who? USA. Who is at the forefront of selling arms? USA. I was just reading up some of the statistics. It gives £3 billion of aid, of military aid, to Israel annually. £3 billion of military aid to Israel annually. Imagine. And Israel is the only country in the world that requires every citizen, male or female, to fight and to train for the military that is there. Every Israeli citizen, male or a female, is prepared to fight in any kind of combat, male or a female. They are actually required to enroll and be part of the army. 100,000 active soldiers of Israel are prepared to fight anytime, anywhere. And just recently, I was just reading an article, they bought F-35, the most sophisticated fighter planes in the world. Most sophisticated. 20 were purchased by Israel. And Netanyahu said that this will bolster and strengthen Israeli strength, Israeli military. It seems that perhaps the only country that is making amal on the verse of the Quran is Israel. Perhaps the only country in the world that is making amal on this ayat-e kareema, despite the fact that they are not Muslims and they don't believe in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is who? Israel. Now what I am saying to you is not something that is new. It is all information that you can get. You can get all this information from Hazrat Google. Madda Zilluhul Ali. You can get all this information from حضرت گوگل مد ذله العالی. That is it, isn't it? You ask anything and it will give you. So what can you say? So this is not new information that I am giving you. It's something that all of you might know. It's just information so that we understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Military might. China, 2 million army. Nobody says nothing. Recently they were saying that, oh, Hezbollah take all their weapons from, who supplies Hezbollah with weapons? And they say Iran and Syria does. But all of the weapons that Israel use comes from the US, besides a few French planes, that's all, French fighter planes. But nearly all of them comes from the US. India has a military of 1 million. How many? 1 million. A powerful country. America has an army of 500,000, but if you include all the other guards, it becomes 1 million. Very powerful country. Subhanallah. And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, that if you want peace, if you want to uphold peace and justice for all of humanity, if you want to uphold peace and justice for all of humanity, a sovereign state needs to be a very powerful military state. A strong armed force. That is what is needed. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. My respected brothers. Allah says, Quwwa, which includes everything. Which includes everything. And subhanallah, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن رِبَاتِ الْخَيْلِ وَمِن رِبَاتِ الْخَيْلِ. And to have a powerful army which has trained horses. Which has trained horses. Now the first word, quwwa, is a general term that includes all the different eras. So that whatever is what we say advancement in technology in your time should be acquired. But in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the most effective manner of defeating your opponent was by a horse, a trained horse. Greatly valued, a trained horse. That is why on the day of Qiyamah, that horse that participated in jihad, on the day of Qiyamah, a reward will be given to the mujahid. Everything of that horse will be a means of reward, including its stool and its urine, and the blood that oozes out from its body. Everything will be a means of reward on the day of Qiyam. Even today in the modern world, if you look at when you have a large group of people protesting, the most easiest method of controlling a crowd is through cavalry, horseback, to mount yourself on horses. One horse will do the job of 20, 30 officers, cavalry. Football hooligans and whatever you see around you, it's horses that control everything. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has put barakah on the forehead of the horses. Allah has put barakah on the forehead of the horses. Subhanallah. Itna khubsurat janwar hai. Itna khubsurat janwar hai. On the forehead of the horses. And Allah speaks of this. وَمِن رِبَاتِ الْخَيْلِ. Because in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most effective way of defeating your opponent was by making sure that you have trained horses. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about the era of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First covering all of the generations by using the term quwwa until the day of Qiyamah. Then specifically covering the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah says that if you become a military might, تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ, it will instill fear in the hearts of the opposition, of those who seek oppression and tyranny. Now, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and if you look at the seerah of the Khulafa'i Rashid, this ayat kareema was open in front of them. Very open. And they knew the meaning of this ayat kareema. And therefore, when you look at the contribution that comes from Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, and that is why it is important for me to first mention to you the verse of the Quran and why the companions had taken certain steps and measures in their life, in their khilafat, because of the hukm and the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to understand as Muslims, what is jihad? Jihad is to eliminate oppression and tyranny, not just for Muslims, but for all of humanity. For all of humanity. SubhanAllah, if you look at history, you'll find that the Jewish community were living in great comfort in the Islamic Khilafat than an area where it was not governed by the Muslims. SubhanAllah. Even when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina Munawwara, a group of people who never ever accepted what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said to them, but they never migrated, they never moved out from Medina Munawwara. They stayed there, and they wanted to stay there with the Muslimin. If you look at tariq, if you look at history, if you look at Spain, SubhanAllah al-Azim, there was justice. There was justice. Islam would uphold justice. And so to acquire weapons and a hardware in your firepower and your military warfare is not so that it becomes a means of some gadgets and toys that you just come out randomly and start shooting people and killing people. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And so one of the most important verses that all of the Muslims must look at, all of the Muslims. Inshallah, we are covering the seerah of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. And now that we have understood the meaning of the Quran, the message of the Quran, it becomes easier for us to understand what Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala did in his khilafat. But just to understand that Islam is not a religion that only wants to defend the sanctity of the Muslimin or the honor of the Muslims, or jihad is there only for the protection of the Muslims. Jihad is something that is very sacred, and it gives honor to everyone. Honor to everyone. If you look at tariq, if you look at the history of Islam, the first verse that gave permission to the Muslims to pick up arms and to fight and to wage a war and to do jihad, the first ayat of the Quran is in Surah Hajj. Is in Surah Hajj. Verse number 39. First ayat kareema. Allah says, أُذِينَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Permission is given to fight. Permission is given to fight with those who are, to those who are fought against. Permission is given to fight to those who are fought against. And so if you look at the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was never an offensive measure of waging a war. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, throughout his life in Makkah Mukarrama, did he say to his companions that, yes, we are enough, pick up arms, let's fight the people of Makkah, the mushrikeen who are against us? Do you recall that in the life of Makkah Mukarrama, in the Meccan period? Never. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam instead chose peace. Peace. And he decided to go back to Medina Munawwara, to migrate. Not to fight, but to go to Medina Munawwara. Now when he goes to Medina Munawwara, you find the people of Makkah that come with an army to launch an attack, an offensive upon the Muslims, and it becomes farz upon the Muslims to defend themselves. And so Allah gave permission to the Muslims that you can pick up arms and fight against those who are fighting you.
and fight against those who are fighting. And this is the first ayat kareema that allows the Muslim to wage a war. Subhanallah al-Azim. Now, what an incredible verse of the Quran. Today you'll find a lot of people making a mockery. A lot of people, atheists, and people who really don't know the Quran. People who have no knowledge of the Quran. And you'll see that in the radio interview, or anywhere, or in the magazines, they say, oh, Islam encourages people to kill their neighbors, and to kill anyone who's an infidel, and to kill anyone who is not a Muslim. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The first thing we need to ask is, please, bring your source. From which ayat of the Quran do you speak? Or what is your reference? From which hadith do you take this matter? That is what we need to ask them. It's very easy just to talk and make accusations and allegations. That this is what Islam does. This is what Islam does. Someone sent me an email that what kind of a religion do you believe in that wants to kill people, that wants to kill people, and wants to kill those people who have taken part in the burning of the Quran, who have taken part in the burning of the... So I had written an answer to him, responded by saying to him, I said, tell me that from amongst the 1.6 billion Muslims of the world, who has killed who in which country, and how many people have died because of the burning of the Quran, tell me. Give me the statistics. Now it's so easy for you to say that Muslims have killed people who are burning the Quran. Where is it? Which Muslim has killed a person that was burning the Quran? Where is it? Which country? How many people died? How many people were killed? Give us your facts and figures. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That is not Islam. But look at the beautiful message of the Quran. What a beautiful ayat of the Quran. And everybody must learn this ayat kareema in Surah Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Udhina lil-ladhina yuqataluna, 12th ruku, the beginning of the 12th ruku here. Allah gives permission that Muslims can pick up, or anybody can pick up arms, to fight against those who fight you. Udhina lil-ladhina yuqataluna bi-annahum zulimu. And Allah says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْدٍ لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعٌ وَبِيَعٌ وَصَلَوَاتٌ وَمَسَاجِدٌ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not give permission to people to defend themselves, but the translation of the ayat kareema would be that if Allah did not repel a group of people by another group of people, if Allah did not repel a group of people by another group of people, then Allah says, لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ. The first thing the Quran speaks of is that you would see demolished the monasteries. What would you see demolished? The monasteries. And what is a monastery? A place where Christian monks worship. You would see the monasteries demolished. Wabiya, wabiya. And wabiya means churches. Allah speaks of the church in the Quran. Monasteries would be demolished, churches would be demolished, and people who say that Muslims hate the Jewish people and that Muslims hate Christians. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah says, if Allah did not give permission, then the places of worship would have been demolished. If Allah wanted, He could have just said, then the masjid would have been demolished. Then the masjid would have been demolished. But Allah puts the masjid last. Masjid comes at the end. Subhanallah. Honor, and we talk about human rights. Rights are given to other people. Allah says, it would have been that the monasteries would have been demolished. The churches would have been demolished. Wasalawat, and the synagogues would have been demolished. And then at the end Allah says, wa masajid, and the masjid would have been demolished. In which abundantly the name of Allah is taken. Now, my respected brothers and elders, tell me, if Islam was a religion that goes out and wants to kill everybody, as they say, and a jihad means to kill everybody and to force the religion of Islam on people, then why is the Quran giving protection to a monastery? Then why is the Quran giving protection to a church? Then why is the Quran giving protection to a synagogue? And why is the Quran giving protection to people who are not of the Islamic faith? Allahu Akbar Kabira. And as Muslims, we have to be educated. We have to learn certain verses of the Quran, ayats, and explain to them, have you read this verse of the Quran? Have you read it? Islam is the most tolerant religion on the face of this earth. The most tolerant. To such an extent, that to a degree, a Muslim is, now this is not even a fatwa, in fact I won't even say that, because some people can't digest some of the fatwas that are there. But Islam is the most tolerant religion on the face of this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding. And that we should not fear. We should discuss the matters openly. Because Quran is haq. Quran is haq. Subhanallah. It's okay for China to have an army active 2 million. For India to have 1 million. These powerful nations that no one wants to bully. Why no one wants to bully them? Because they are powerful countries. Subhanallah. But Islam teaches a person a value of a human being. Never mind a human being, even animals. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one lady was given Jannah because she gave respect and honor to a dog. She gave water to a dog. And this riwayat is in the Sahihain. That she gave water to a dog and Allah gave her Jannah. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina Munawwara, the first action that he had taken was to make peace agreements with those who were not Muslims in Medina Munawwara, mainly the Jewish community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now these verses were only mentioned in front of you, mashallah, so that we have an understanding, and also that we understand that the great contributions that come from the Khulafa-i Rashid, and even after the period of the Khulafa-i Rashid, as a continuation during the time of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ta'ana gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.